Hello, welcome to Facing the Situation, Building Spiritual Resiliency. This is Prophetess Mary Ayodele, and I am so incredibly happy that you are here. You are listening to Season 6, Episode 2, and let's open with prayer. Given honor to the Most High, we are thankful for coming together once again to apply your holy word to our lives. May we be willing, intentional, open, and compassionate as we step out of our own wants and desires and into your holy will for us, so that we may fulfill our destinies as you prepared them for us before we came into the earth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Thank you for joining me today. It is November 8th, 2020. I am speaking to you from the Gulf of Mexico bioregion of Houston, Texas. Since we've last gathered together, our community here in North America, in the United States of America, has performed a very public and cultural ritual that affected us personally and affected us professionally and affected our families and communities, which is called a presidential election. That election has happened since we last were together. We were supposed to be together in our podcast on Wednesday, and we had technical issues, so Wednesday's podcast didn't load up right. So we are in prayer that this podcast will load up right, and you'll have it to listen to today. The subject matter for our season is timing, the timing of the Most High, and specifically coming into congruency or coming into the flow and the vibration of that timing, because timing is everything. We're going to look at the very rich tapestry that's in front of us between now and the end of the year, according to the Gregorian calendar, when it comes to public rituals and family rituals and things of that nature. We have two more significant cultural holidays coming up here in North America that will give us plenty of opportunity to explore and practice what has been discussed in this podcast for the past few seasons. Just a reminder, this podcast is set up to help us build our spiritual immune system and spiritual resiliency, with the idea that once we boost our spiritual immune systems, we will be stronger, so that when we face unexpected changes, we will be strong enough to withstand them, grow through them, and thrive through them. So, about this public ritual we just went through, at this point, let's talk about some pointers to remember after you and your family and your community go through a significant cultural ritual. The first pointer is, it's fine to be relieved, but don't get lazy. Let me say that again. It's fine to be relieved, but don't get lazy. So if you went through some sort of election process, even if it's with a labor union that you are part of, or if it's something in your community, like a homeowners association, which is really local and communal, right? Or if it's something as big as a presidential election, you don't want to get lazy after the ritual of the election is over. So even if you were on the side of the winning group or the losing group, whatever you did, if your group won, you're going to need to boost your strength and stay out there, stay on the front lines, stay political, know what the elected officials you elected are talking about, know what you voted for. This is not a time to get lazy, and that's for any public ritual that you may be a part of. It can be a family reunion, which again is a public ritual because few people have secret family reunions, right? So family reunions don't just involve your family. They involve the venues that you rent. Yes, I know we're in a time where people aren't doing a lot of public gatherings, but they will one day. Public rituals are involving weddings. Again, the families are invited, but friends, they rent halls, they buy dresses. So the community benefits from this ritual, if not only financially, in other ways they benefit too. There are lots of public rituals that we don't think of that way that we participate in. And if you were responsible for having that ritual happen, if it was your wedding, if you were the person elected to be city council person or on the school board, or if you helped to get someone elected, your work doesn't end when the election is over or when the family reunion is over or when the wedding is over. Actually, that's when your work begins. So the first thing to remember about these public rituals of reunions and class reunions and all that is that the work continues after the event, just like before. Never forget that. Number two, if the group that you were on the side of did not get what you think they were supposed to get, remember number one. Number one means you are doing constant improvement in whatever you're doing. Even if you feel that your team won, whatever your team may be about, if you want to win again, you're going to need to be on top of your game. So you don't wait until the day before the election to work on that. You start working the day after the election, if you win or lose. That's how you build spiritual immunity. Every day you pray. Every day you practice gratitude. Every day you stay in alignment with the Most High. You don't do that only when things go bad. That's not a strong immune system, physically or emotionally. That would be like somebody who only takes vitamins when they get sick. And I know some people live that way. This podcast is encouraging you not to live that way, but to think about your immune system spiritually, emotionally, physically, prior to it being bombarded with toxins. So the two things to remember is after the public ritual is over, your work is not over. And two, even if you were on the side that appeared to have lost or the side that appeared to have won, remember step number one, your work is not over. You may be wondering, when can you rest? A lot of people say that to me. We have talks and they say, well, I just want to rest. I'm tired. And I gently ask them, are they honoring the Sabbath? If you are following the Judeo-Christian Hebraic line of spirituality, religion, you're told that the Most High worked 6 days and the seventh day he rested. We're told that we're supposed to keep the Sabbath holy and rest. Now, truthfully, I think I mentioned this in season one and two, there was a time where you didn't have any choice because everything was closed except the hospital, the fire department, and the police station. And that was about 35, maybe 40 years ago now. But now you can buy a car, a house, furniture, everything's open on Sunday. Sunday is just like any day of the week. Now, Sunday's not the Sabbath day. Surprise, surprise. If you didn't know that, please look it up and familiarize yourself with the truth that Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the Sabbath day. Look into the history of why many Christian people think Sunday is the first day of the Sabbath day and why they go to church on Sunday. But it's not because it's the Sabbath. The Sabbath is what we would consider Friday evening to Saturday evening. And I mean, we who are using the Gregorian calendar. But if you even honor Sunday as your Sabbath, that is your pretend seventh day off, right? If you want to pretend that's the seventh day of the week and that's the Sabbath, it's still not a day of rest. People are buying and shopping and doing laundry and painting houses and getting their hair done. And it's like Monday through Friday. The banks are even open. You can do whatever you want. Like I said, you can buy a house on Sunday. So what is my point? My point is for people who are too tired to keep going, that's because where's your Sabbath? What is the day of rest that you take? If you're a vacationer, someone who works hard and then takes vacations every year, I'm not talking about a vacation. We're not talking about 2 or 3 weeks that you charge on your credit card to go travel. No, no, no. The Sabbath is a weekly event. So imagine your life, or reimagine your life, if you were taking one day off every week. One day off. And you say off from what? Again, for those of you who have Bibles, if you follow the Christian way, or if you follow the Hebraic way, you have Torah. It tells you what to do on the Sabbath and what not to do. It's in your book. So I don't have to have a podcast about it. I'm willing to do that. But my point is, you're tired because you're not taking the ordained breaks that we were told to take. And I say we because I follow the way of Yeshua. And that makes a difference. There's even breaks you're supposed to take from working. That's where the word sabbatical comes from. For those of you familiar with the idea of a sabbatical, where a professor or a teacher takes off a semester or even a school year to travel or research or write books or what have you, the word sabbatical, the root word is Sabbath. That the idea is that you, not for teachers only, but if you follow the Torah, the Hebraic way, for Christians, they call it the Old Testament of the Bible, you work 6 years and then you take the 7th year off. And this is particularly doing farming, like the earth that's been farmed was to be farmed for 6 years. And then the 7th year, that earth was left alone to go fallow. And for those of us who are not farmers, that would mean in our professional lives, we work 6 years and take a year off for research, study, or just to go and have long massages, right? So what is my point? The rest is built into the party. The R-E-S-T that you think you're missing, you can't get enough of it. If you follow what's outlined for you, it's there. If you're not Christian or Hebraic, if you don't follow that way and you are another faith, I would encourage you. I always tell y'all at least once a season, whatever your faith community is, whatever you believe in, dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper. Never settle for what's on the surface. Study with your holy people, find out what they have to tell you about, when your day of rest is, because there is going to be a day of rest. So you want to know when that is, and you want to follow the rules of whatever you're doing. And if you don't know your rules, but you think you're doing it, do it more, do more of it. Study with your leaders, read your literature, do whatever it is you need to do, because you need to dig deeper into whatever your faith tradition is. Okay, so the next time we talk will be November the 15th, and that will be part 3 of our journey through the month of November. If you're here in the North American continent, we have a major, major, major cultural moment coming up this 4th Thursday in November. Wow, we have to unpack that one. That day and the day after. This whole month. So part of this month is dedicated to consumerism and shopping for the holiday that we're supposed to be celebrating next month. But because of some changes in public health this year, it's not just one day dedicated to consumerism, but some stores have dedicated 4 days to it. And those are public rituals that people perform, where they stay up all night or get up early and they go to stores and wait in their cars. And the store opens at 5 a.m. and they go in to buy things, right? So we're going to continue to unpack this subject about the timing of the Most High and how it affects your life. And we'll be doing that by His grace next Sunday. And hopefully this coming Wednesday, hopefully we can overcome this technical issue and we'll have an episode, a fresh episode, not this one, but a whole new one on Wednesday for midnight prayer. So let's close out tonight with me thanking you all for listening. I thank all of you all for your support. If you have a prayer request, please send it to me at prophetessmaryiodele@gmail.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, you may do so by sending a donation of any amount you'd like through PayPal to prophetessmaryayodele@gmail.com. If you'd like to donate in another fashion, you can do that. Just email me, let me know, and we'll work out the method that you can do that with. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you, and we're praying for you and your continued unfoldment each and every day. Our verse that we are going to meditate on for the next 6 days until we get together next Sunday is, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. One more time. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Sin means to miss the mark. And that means when you're angry or upset with someone or something, do not go to sleep with that anger on your heart. You have to take care of your heart and guard your heart. Read the book of Proverbs about that. Guard your heart. So you don't want to go to sleep angry, okay? To do so means you have missed the mark. You have missed the ethical mark, the mark of character that you're reaching for. So your character, you know how people have financial goals or weight loss goals and stuff? We need to have character goals, goals that we set to embrace a higher level of character, a higher level of being. And when you go to sleep angry, it can cause you to miss the mark, to sin, and not reach the goal of lifting up your character each and every day and following the word of God. And you don't want that. So read this verse in the morning, read it at night, meditate on it, print it out, memorize it if you want, put it on an index card. But let this verse be a guide to you in your life. So when you face difficult times and difficult moments, you can make choices that better yourself, your family, and your community and help you to fulfill your destiny. Thank you for signing in and listening in. Thank you for sharing this podcast with your friends and family. I appreciate you. I love you guys and you ladies, everybody out there, the children, the birds, and the bees, everybody who can hear the sound of my voice. I send you divine love and light. I appreciate you, and I look forward to talking with you soon. So tune in Wednesday night. Talk to you then. Bye.